Continuing in Mitzvah Kuf Peches 188, the Mitzvah not to engage in intimate conduct with arayos, with people with whom it's forbidden to have a sexual relationship. And we're continuing over here in my editions in the paragraph that begins Va'amru Zichronim Livracha, which we talked about hair and voice, etc., that we discussed at length last time. And now we're continuing with a slightly different angle. Da'filu lehistakel bevigdei tseva shel isha, even to look at pretty colorful garments of a woman, kilomar bigodim noyim shadarkan lasosan bigodim tzuin, nice, fancy, colorful garments. Also listakel behen, you're not allowed to, again, gaze intently at them, not talking about see them.
Fancy?
I mean, if it's a shoe, I mean, something that's not going to make her look... Okay, nowadays shoes are the main part of a woman's wardrobe, but in the olden days, they... it was particularly the colorful garments that made them look pretty. Right, color again used to be expensive. That's an excellent point. And there's this new fashion that everybody wears black all the time at Lakewood. And they'll wear colors. What?
Not so new for years.
Oh, yeah? Oh. Okay, if you look at pictures, as far as I'm aware, like a few years ago, of even really from... Okay, whatever. So the fashion now is to wear only black, but that's...
wearing a red jacket.
Some people... No. Oh, red, that's a different story. So some people... The red is also a question, very questionable. Maybe it's only very bright red and very grabbing the attention. Whatever it is, it used to be assumed that wearing... That a woman used to want to wear colored garments in order to make herself look pretty. It used to be considered that wearing black would be something that no woman would want to do because it doesn't make her look good. And not even just in a luring manner, just stop, you know, going outside. You want to look presentable. So in any event, so you're not allowed to stare at them. Kolzman shemaki or isha alovesha sosan. If you know that these garments belong to Shendi, and you're looking at these garments very intently, you're staring at how beautiful these garments are, even if they're hanging in the closet. So you're staring at the garment, and you start to think, oh, how good Shandy looks in these garments, and that's forbidden.
If you see the garment sitting in like a window of a store, don't belong to anybody.
Right, so that's fine.
That's fine, okay.
That's fine. V'herchiku gamke, I'm sorry, v'levisha mitoch riyas ha'malbosh yavu laharaba, that when you're staring at her garments, you're going to think about, have inappropriate thoughts about this particular woman. Again, if you don't know who the owner is, then that's okay, because you're not going to make the connection. It's going to be in your mind a garment totally divorced from the owner of the garment and the person who wears it. But if you happen to know who wears this garment, then you're not allowed to stare at it.
Supposing you know that a very nice-looking car belongs to a woman, you can't look at the car then? I mean, that's how hard...
The car is too far removed from her body.
Okay.
Fine. V'hirchiku gamkein...
You don't know the person at all? If you see
then it's okay. Like Charlie said, if you're walking by a store and you see a gorgeous dress, so A, it probably doesn't belong to anyone yet. No, here we're talking about the garment not when it's on being worn at all. We're talking about the garment hanging in the closet or,
So in other words, thoughts that you might have about, a woman in general who'll be wearing these garments are okay. It's a specific...
No. Not that it's okay. Not that you walk by Saks Fifth Avenue and you see a gorgeous dress and you say, wow, that dress is so gorgeous. And you think, ooh, what could fill that dress, I wonder? And then you start thinking about that. That we assume you're not going to do. You're going to see the dress as it is for a dress that if you don't know the owner, you're not going to make the next leap of thinking who is going to be wearing that particular garment. V'yachiku gamkein shelo lishol bishlom eishes ishklal vafilu al yedei bala. One is not allowed, this is one of the more interesting halachos, also somewhat ignored, which is that one is not allowed to ask how a woman is, or send regards, rather, I think that's a better translation. Vafilu al yedei bala, even tell your wife, please send my regards. If you ask the husband, please send regards to... your wife, that's forbidden, but you're allowed to say, how is your wife doing? I heard she wasn't well, or something like that. That you are allowed to ask the husband, or just, I mean, the minag nowadays, whether it's really okay or not, is perhaps we could discuss, but even to, obviously for a man to ask a woman directly, are you feeling okay? How's everything going? It's specifically to send regards. Oh, hello, I want to, shalom, how is it? It's a more, in the olden days, she'ela shalom was more indicated a kirvas hadas, a wanting to be closer, having a closer relationship, then I think saying how are you does today. And also in nowadays in society, when you say a woman how are you, that's if you don't, that's considered to be rude. It's not only that you're trying to avoid having an intimate relationship, it's really not considered to be appropriate behavior if you would just, you know, you're not supposed to say to a man, please send regards to your wife in my name, because then if the husband says, oh, you know, my friend Jack inquired about you. Oh, really? He inquired about me? That's so nice. When was the last time you inquired about my, you know, I mean, it could get, it could build up.
He wouldn't notice anyway.
Well, good Shabbos is for sure mutter. That's not, that doesn't show at all a close relationship.
That's my point.
Whether it's socially acceptable is a different story, but halachically it's definitely mutter. This is an enhancement. This is what Chazal saw to make clear rules as an enhancement of the Torah's prohibition against intimate contact with those that who are arayos.
Well, you could just as well deduce that since the rulings are so stringent, your best bet is to stay home 24/7 so you won't be tempted. Uh-huh.
That's like the story about the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim, somebody once came to the Chofetz Chaim and said, Rebbe, you know, I read your book on the laws of Lashon Hara, and now I just don't want to open my mouth anymore.
Right.
So the Chofetz Chaim said, no, it's the opposite. Now you're allowed to open your mouth, because now you know what you're allowed to say and what you're not allowed to say. So, I mean, that's exactly against the point of the Torah, is to just, okay, there are too many rules, I'm not going to function in life. The whole point is it's a guide of how to function in life. But this I don't think, again, if you observe it like you're supposed to, it doesn't mean that you have to stay at home, you can never talk to women. I mean, even in Chazal, you see that, like we said, remember the whole stories about, all the stories about Bruria and how she used to, you know, used to put people in their place, and she was such a wise woman. It's not that they refused to ever talk to her, they had specifications, they had restrictions on how they spoke to her. But they, it's not supposed to shut you up completely, shut you down, close out your entire life. And especially in today's society, that it's more normal for men and women to talk to each other in a more casual mm-hmm. setting. So you have to absorb these things, otherwise it's going to get too far. You see all the time in the world around us. Yeah. Meir Twersky made in his hesped for his brother, Ramosha Twersky, Shem Yukam Domo, said that one of the major points, he was talking about how frum and how really how great midos his brother had, was that he could balance the element of trying to, you know, make women feel welcome in his home and never make them feel uncomfortable with the other aspect of not talking too much, not talking into an intimate manner, and he really balanced it well. That's one of the shvachim, one of the praises he said of his brother. Uh-huh. So it's hard, but it's something we have to work on. We have to make sure there's a balance. But there are some people, especially from Haredi communities in Israel, where it's a very society-wide type of thing, that men and women don't really interact, that, you know, men will avert their eyes, they won't ever look at a woman, they won't... It's a modern...
Separate entrances to every web.
Right, so that's a more modern development. That's not something that the halacha really requires. If you hear stories about Reb Moshe Feinstein, for example... So when a woman would come in to talk to him, he'd look her straight in the eye, be pleasant, you know, the different different styles, different... Right, but if a woman is used to it, and she's used to that no man is ever going to look at her, then she's not going to be embarrassed, because one man doesn't look at her. That's the old way, but nowadays, in some communities, they're getting more stringent, so we have to figure out what's the best balance over here. Now, the rui ribui prate harichukin shehizhiru alehen beinyin zeh. So Chazal gave many additional ways that we should separate ourselves from the arayos of al klal ha-davar hu, shelo yaseh ha-adam shum davar ba-olam ha-mevio lidehir hur-banoshim. You should try as much as possible not to do anything in the world that causes you to think about women improperly. Lo b'maisev, lo b'dibor, whether in action or in speech, v'lo shum remez, any type of hinting, l'karev hadas ha'isha hakala im daito, to join the woman's, you have to forgive me here for translating this literally, that the light, I don't know, what's the correct word, the light, how does our scroll translate it, the light, intellect is not even the right word over here. Mm. Persona,
some mind.
Impressionable mind. So
that's
we were not supposed to, right, so any of these, anything like I said before, that shows a woman that a man is thinking about her or is trying to get closer to her. I guess they're considered to be women more impressionable, so therefore that she will start having thoughts that maybe this is the right guy to be with, even though they're not allowed to be with each other because they're rivals to each other. Ela b'ishto bilvad. You have to concentrate all these things for your wife only. Uve'inyan zeh haya mochiach hanovian shidoro b'amr lahem. Yirmiyo hanovi said to the people in his generation, ish el eshes re'ehu yitzholu. A man neis to the wife of his friend. What does that mean? Kilomar lefi darkam shenira kilu eina miskavnin l'chach yirmezu l'inshe re'ehem remizo shel niuf. So they didn't directly go to women and say, hey, want to have an affair with me. They used to, you know, be in their house next door, and then the other man's wife would be in the neighboring house. And they'd, you know, make noises, hey, how's it going? You know, looking good today. So I don't know exactly what they used to do, but they used to say things that were not directly even spoken to each other necessarily in an absolutely intimate manner. Nevertheless, it would be things that the men would say that would continual exposure to these types of messages would sort of subliminally get the women to get the idea that, yes, this is a great guy, and I would like to have an affair with this man.
Are we talking about married men only?
I mean, that doesn't really matter from a halachic standpoint.
No?
I mean, because...
We're not talking about men and men, women and women.
No, but Arayos...
Married women.
Married man does not create an erva to anyone else, right?
What does that mean?
If a single woman has an affair with a married man, that's not an issue of Arayos, yes, unless she's Anita.
He has to get Shlish and Shabbos for it, but, you know.
Right, it's not the... It's not nice, it's not mutter, it's not, you know, it's definitely us, that's no question, but there's not a prohibition of a rayos per se, assuming she's not an either, right?
No, I'm talking about a man who is single. Is he allowed to have thoughts about women who are single?
He's going to have them.
Technically, like we said before last time, that if it's a man and a single woman who is not an either, which is very rare... So that's not a situation of arroyos, but you're gonna if he starts thinking about a single non-nida woman in an inappropriate manner, so that's could lead to improper sexual behavior anyway. So it's still usur, but it's not a prohibition of arroyos per se. Arroyos meaning the really severe sexual prohibitions.
I mean, let's just say, obviously, you know, the prohibition against arias, it's going to, you know, you have to sit there and make a diuk about every single, individual and say,
correct.
Oh, this one actually is, is not married, and this one is married, and so on and so forth. I mean, yeah.
Right, this is right. That's against what Chazal wanted, that we want general blanket prohibitions against too close relationships between men and women. And right, you're not supposed to have, you don't have to, you shouldn't give a shir about why this is really mutter for me to do this. Really, it should just be that that we try not to do these activities at all. But again, in terms of the arayos prohibition per se, there are technical things that don't apply to the more general prohibition of not causing oneself to have inappropriate thoughts. Like if you're with your wife and she's not anida, and you start thinking about her in a way that's for another woman would be an inappropriate thought. So guess what? You have a release for that. You can have relations at that time. But if it's to a woman who's to whom you're not married, even if she's not anida, even though she wouldn't be an erva, then you're still not allowed to have relations with her at that time. So you still would be a problem maybe of velos asur acharei levavchem. That or acharei nechem rather that you shouldn't have lead yourself to inappropriate thoughts. It could lead to seminal emissions, things like that. So that would not be advisable for that way. But it wouldn't technically be a prohibition of arayos. Like we said, if it was a single woman who's not anida and a single man, so they're not arayos to each other. They're not allowed to have relations in the absence of a marriage. But it's not an isur arayos per se. So even if they hugged and kissed in a manner that was suggesting foreplay to something greater, with which an erva, according to the Rambam, would be a prohibition that would get the prohibition that would get the penalty of malchus. So that would not be the case by a man and a non-nida single woman. They would not receive the prohibition of malchus because it would not be an isser of arayos per se. It would only be an isser of causing oneself to have inappropriate thoughts.
And of course, say that somebody, a man's sister or mother.
right.
are definitely, you know, first rate Arias. No,
right, but that's right.
You can still go ahead and say, "Oh, how are you?" And you know,
well, you have to hug them. You got to hug and kiss them. That's. But we'll get to that.
We're getting to endless variation.
Right. We'll get to that in a few minutes, hopefully. The ein beefsher lahagid pratei ha'inyonim sheyeda ha'adam lasos lekarav elov das ha'isha shehu kal. They said, since women are so impressionable, so there are many myriad types of things that a man could do to attract a woman's attention. And Chazal couldn't possibly have enumerated each of them specifically and given them an explicit prohibition. V'lachin hizkiru zichronim livracha mehem ktsas. These are specific examples. Not to see the hair, not to hear their voice. You're not allowed to say to greet them and send regards. Uvishar yizar kol echad ve'echad lishmor atzul lefi ma sheyimtza es gufo ki Hashem yiral al evav. So the rest is up to you. You have to know in yourself what could lead you to have inappropriate interactions with a woman or inappropriate thoughts about a woman, whatever. And you have to prevent yourself from doing it because this is one of the things that really the Torah wants you to do extra things. And this is not, don't say, oh, like, I'm not staring at her hair, but, you know, we're going to play, cards together in an intimate setting.
Why
maybe even if it's,
sexual
maybe if it's,
talk-
and if let's say there's a situation where it's not technically yichud. So let's say you're, a couple that's, dating is in one of their parents' house. The parents are on a different floor of the house, per se, and these two people are playing cards in the basement alone in dimly lit lighting. So that's not technically yichud. He's going to say, well, I wasn't, hearing her sing, and I wasn't sending her regards, and, you know, what's the problem? So that's exactly what the chinuch is telling you right now. No, you have to be intelligent about it. That you don't say you can't list all the specific halachos and assume that covers all the cases. That the Torah really wants you to separate yourselves from inappropriate conduct with arayos. Because God knows your heart and is going to see when you're really trying to let yourself in the back door to really engage in inappropriate conduct with arayos. Shmuel Aleph. Yirmiyahu, you're talking about?
No.
What
Shmuel? No.
Oh, that pasuk. Oh, Hashem Yirah Lo Leivav. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a general, you know.
Yeah, no. He likes to quote, Chinuch likes to quote bits of psukim to prove his points. It's cute. It's just his method of rhetoric. Umikol makom lefi hadome mikol mashi ziru zichronim levracha ein adam rashi lazuz mimos ramatov. But it doesn't work the opposite way. It says you're supposed to add prohibitions onto yourself if you see that this is if you did engage in such an activity, it would lead you to inappropriate behavior with arayos. But you can't say the opposite one. In other words, you might say, oh, you know, listening to women singing doesn't turn me on, as probably nowadays does most of the time. It doesn't, because men are pretty used to hearing women singing. You can't say, oh, well, I'm not allowed. I'm allowed to listen to women singing because I know for sure that it's not going to turn me on. So he says that's not true. You said things that are explicit are the foundation, and you can't subtract them. You add on to them, but you may not subtract from the things that are explicitly stated, even if you know for sure that, if you think you know for sure, that this particular thing is not going to lead you to get closer to arayos. Let's say you have a low sex drive. Lo yomar kevan shani motzei atzmi kein. Ma'ech basli mestakel banoshim ki yodeani v'atzmi shlo yisorer yitzri b'chach. You're going to say, I know I'm not going to get aroused by staring at a woman because I'm just not that kind of person. I don't have the same desires, level of desires as other people. Shaharbe Amrukein Venichshalu. That many people said this, then they realized, my sex drive isn't quite as low as I had imagined it to be, and whoops, I ended up now in a position where that's not good. But besides that, there's another level, which is that we want to make blanket prohibitions for the entire community so as not to embarrass anyone. In other words, so if there were no explicit prohibition against hearing women singing, per se, let's say, so then, one person finds himself that he is turned on by hearing women singing. So then his friends say to him, oh, you know, let's go to a concert of this female singer. And he says, no, you know, I'm sorry, I can't go. I say, well, why can't you go to the concert with a female singer? So he's going to say, Well, you know, there's a mitzvah that we're not allowed to do things that turn us on and get us closer to Arayos, and, you know, hearing this woman singing really gets me. So it's really usher for me to go to this concert. So his friends are going to be like, what? It's going to be embarrassing. He's not going to say that, and he's just going to go along to the concert, even though for him, again, assuming that this explicit prohibition were not in the books, it wouldn't be usher and for his friends. It would be usher and for his friends. It would not be usher. So for certain things that Chazal viewed as a basic thing that they wanted people to separate from Arayos, so it's across the board, so nobody should be embarrassed. So that's not, again, that's certainly not Maker Hadin. That's not halachic requirement. But again, it's in the right of the community to impose that standard if they feel that they want the extra enhancements of the mitzvah of separating between men and women. So it's completely within their rights to impose such a thing. But yeah, definitely Maker Adin is allowed for men and women to be in a room together and eat.
In a public room.
Right, a public room, yeah.
And multiple men and women.
Yes, yes, of course. And that is not a problem of Yichud, so you're allowed. So that's the case in the Beis HaMikdash as well, until except for Simchas Beis HaShoeva on Sukkot, where again, at a certain point, Chazal enacted that they built a balcony for the women, which also is the source for Mechitza and Shul, etc., etc., etc. So two reasons: one, you might think that this prohibition doesn't apply to you, and really it does, and so it's not to embarrass anyone where the prohibition really does apply. People think that they don't really have such a yetzer hara for such a thing. Then it gets stronger and stronger and stronger once they get closer to the target, so to speak. That your yetzer hara should not cough, lull you into a false sense of security. Be very, very careful about this. Even if it gives you 1,000 guarantors, don't rely on it. As the Chazal say also in several places, ein apotropos la'arayos, that there's no guardian. Apotropos is like a foster parent type of situation for an orphan. So that's a guardian, basically, a legal guardian. So ein apotropos la'arayos, there's no guardian when it comes to forbidden sexual relationships. If people want to violate the laws of Arayos, they're going to find a way to do it. That's why they have to separate more than the Doraisa requires. He's going to say, Rabosai, you caught me. I have to be perfectly honest that there are stories in the Gemara which sound like this rule that I just told you, that everything is across the board, no exceptions, so we don't want to embarrass anyone. People, you might think that you can handle it, but you really can't. There are some stories in the Gemara that kind of seem to contradict that. So, what are they? Kilomar, Shafil, Mash, Asr, Zichron, Al-Racha, Ben Oshim, even things that the Chazal stated explicitly were Asr by relationships with women. Lohayu, Tzas, Mehan, Choshishin, that some of the sages were not concerned about adhering to these prohibitions, such as Ainza Stira Lit Klal Advar. This is not a contradiction at all to what I just said. Divimokom mitzvahu davka shahayu makilin tzas. This was only, they used to be a little bit lenient in when they were going to have a mitzvah, they were doing a mitzvah by being a little bit more lenient about these things. Kimoshim asinu bereb Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, the famous story, Dahava Yosef Ashare Tvila, he used to sit by the entrance to the mikvah. Kideshi Stakulbo Anoshim Violidu Banim Noim Kimoso. So Rabbi Yochanan, as we know from the Gemara, was extremely handsome. And he used to sit by the entrance to the mikvah so that when the women would finish immersing themselves after Nida, they would be on their way back to their husbands. They would pass by him, and they would say, what's this guy doing here? And they'd look at him very carefully, and they'd see how incredibly good-looking he was, and they would have the impression of such a good-looking man on them when they went to have relations with their husbands that night, and that would have a beneficial impact on the child that was to be conceived that night.
Hopefully they wouldn't be thinking about him when they're having relations with
husbands. Right, so that's us, sir. That's us, sir. The men, right. You're not allowed, the husband and wife are not allowed to think about anyone else during the time that they're having relations. But doesn't mean that they would actually be thinking.
When the women come out of the mikveh, they're fully dressed by then, so.
Yes, it's not talking. No, okay. First of all, hold on. The hulo hayim istakel bahen chalila. It's not that Rabbi Yochanan used to look at them when they were coming out of the mikveh.
It's just on display.
Right, he used to sit there reading a sefer, I don't know, learning Mishnayos, I don't know, whatever. So we see that there are sources that even if the woman is not thinking about him while she's having relations, which you hope she's not, that the first thing that a woman encounters, right? Well, the first, right. So we also have this thing that's found in halacha, which is not really that relevant anymore, which is that if a woman's coming out of the mikvah and the first thing she encounters when she leaves the mikvah is a pig or a horse or a dog or something like not horse. A pig or a dog or some tamei animal, unclean animal, then she should go immerse in the mikvah again to cleanse herself from the thoughts of this animal because it's considered to have a negative impact on. No, nowadays we always have a mikvah lady.
So
basically you make sure that the mikvah lady is the first person. That's why the mikvah lady is supposed to be one of the most religious women in the town.
That's one of the reasons.
Yeah.
One of the reasons.
Yeah. So you want your kids to look like a mikvah lady? I mean, that's
easy. No, but the mikvah lady is so holy and so religious and so pious that if you encounter the mikvah lady first, so that's that obviates the need to be worried about what you're going to encounter when you actually leave the mikvah and start encountering dogs and things like that. Anyway, so that we see that there's this concept that not that she's thinking about this, not that she's thinking about the mikvah lady or Rabbi Yochanan or whomever when she's having her mikvah night relations, but that you see that the encounter has an impact on them, even vis-a-vis how the what type of results the relations are gonna have. He knew that he's not going to have inappropriate thoughts when he's sitting at the entrance of the mikvah, so therefore he was allowed to do this. Another situation was the Rebbe, which is not our Girsa in the Gemara. Our Girsa is Rav Acha. The Havanaki Kalsa Kasfe, he used to take the bride at a wedding. He used to dance with her on his shoulders, sitting on his shoulders.
I don't
think so. That this was only for the reasoning of a mitzvah to make her to perform the mitzvah of Simchas Chasen Vekala. Similar types of things are found in the Gemara of great rabbis who used to be lenient about the normal rules of interaction with arayos because for a mitzvah purpose. The ode, this is the clincher over here, that it's not just that they felt they wanted to do a mitzvah. The ode, Shehem Zichron El Bracha, Hayu Kemalachim. It sounds like an art scroll biography for a second, but you'll have to indulge him. That these great sages of old were like angels. Shalohaya iskam afilusha kala kim betor mitzvos. They used to be learning and performing mitzvos all the time. V'haisam efor semes kavanosam l'chola olam kashemesh. Nobody, again, nowadays this would not be the case if a rabbi tried to do that. But in the olden days, everybody, they were so famous and so known as to their pure piety that when Rebbe or Rav Acha or whoever took the kala on his shoulders and started dancing with her, not one person in attendance at the wedding thought for even one second that this great sage was going to have inappropriate thoughts based on this, and they knew that for sure he was going to only that he was only doing it for the purpose of a mitzvah. So then the Sefer Chinuch is going to tell you that he doesn't quote the line. The answer was, the given in the Gemara, is that, Rav Acha said that, no, she's it feels when I'm carrying the kala on my shoulders like I'm carrying a wooden beam. It's no different to me. I don't have any more inappropriate thoughts as to if I'm carrying a beam, if I'm carrying the kala. V'lo hayu margishim hergesh rab b'shum davar merod v'ikusa metor mitzvos. They were so orangutan. They were so involved in Torah and mitzvos all the time that they had no opening even for the Yetzer Hara to start getting at them when they did things like this. Aval anachnu, now in this generation. Anachnu achshav ein lanu lifrotz afil geder katan binyanu eilkal. No one nowadays, says the Chinuch, no one has the right to be lenient in the slightest regarding the prohibitions that Chazal said. No, nowadays, even great who are great sages relatively to the generation nowadays are absolutely not allowed to do anything like this anymore. It's out of the question. Ela lishmor kol ha'herchekim shehodi'unu zichronam livracha b'prat. Just do what Chazal tell us explicitly. Uvema shelo hizkiru heim yesh al kol echad ve'echad lazos kevima sheyimtza es gufa muchan kemo she'amarnu. not only do you have to keep the explicit prohibitions of Chazal, even if you think they don't apply to you, but you must add your own prohibitions based on your own nature, and you have to assess other things you should add on to make sure that you don't go down your own personal type of path towards inappropriate relationships. She'im hu motzei atzmo shetzarech geder, afal hamuter yigdor atzmo. So you have to add your own fences, even things that are technically halachically mutter. Kimo shematzinu echa min hachachamim she'amar, one of the sages said, Hizaru bi mipnei biti, don't allow me to have yichud with my daughter. Afal pi shemutter l'adam lisyached im bito, kimo shenichto bezrus Hashem, as we're going to say later. Nevertheless, the fishinians at Koshim me'od v'yitzara chazakbo, because arayos are so strong, and you never know what's going to happen, alkein tzarech kol adam laharbos b'shmira, that everybody has to do things that are even greater than what the actual halacha requires. But the Rambam has a different interpretation of what was going on over here when when he said this. The Rambam writes in the end of the 21st parak of Hilchos Yisurei Biyah, 22nd maybe? I think 22nd. He says that the reason was not that he was actually concerned that he was going to do anything inappropriate with his daughter. That's certainly not the case. He said that what would be the most embarrassing type of thing to be nichshalin? In other words, if you have an affair with a married woman, obviously it's terrible, but people aren't going to be like, revolted in the same visceral type of way as if one had, engaged in sexual behavior with one's daughter, which is obviously extremely, extremely revolting. So he said, make sure I don't have yichud with my daughter in order to tell his students a lesson. You should never be embarrassed to tell people to add extra shmiros onto yourself, extra fences. So
to yourself.
Yourself, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So if somebody says, so in other words, if somebody said, maybe there was someone who, felt that he was going to, engage in inappropriate behavior with his daughter. So he shouldn't, in other words, and he knew that as soon as he said, make sure I don't have yichud with my daughter, then people are going to know, what's wrong. He's got a problem. That's weird. He's saying, the Rebbe Meir, the example he was trying to set is, you should never be embarrassed to set extra fences around yourself, and other people shouldn't take it as meaning that that's something you really are going to have a problem with. Rather, it should just be that you're observing Chazal's directions. They should always add extra fences around yourself.
Rabbi Herschel Schechter once said, "We need to get a latar, but we don't need a fence around the fence."
Well, sometimes you do need a fence around the fence. It's not always correct, but it's up to the Chachamim to decide when to tell you, no, this is it. No, don't add any more prohibitions, and to tell you what are the areas where you should be adding prohibitions. One of the issues that this reminds me of nowadays is the issue of internet filters. That I was speaking to actually a rabbi once. It was many years ago. So he said, he didn't have internet at home for a long time. Then at a certain point, he said to me, my wife really needs internet for work. So we're getting internet installed, so I'll be able to answer your emails or whatever he said at home now. I'll be able to answer them more frequently. I forget how the issue of a filter came up, but then he said, maybe when my kids are older, and so we'll get a filter, but for right now, when it's just for me and my wife, So we're not going to install a filter right now. So I thought that was completely incorrect. That's not proper rabbinical behavior. He's supposed to say, we're getting internet and we're installing a filter because, I certainly wouldn't be choshed at him. I assume that even without a filter, he would be okay. But A, you never know. And B, it's a good example to set for everyone else. If the rabbi says, oh, he has an internet filter, then so nobody else needs to be embarrassed as to them having an internet filter. So I thought that was really not right, that he should have installed some sort of system right away. Yeah?
Was with all due respect, I must say that my initial reaction to this was he's setting a good example that you don't have to be a total misogynist. That it's a good idea when your kids get old enough. Yeah, you put the filter on.
No, it's quite, that's the opposite.
First of all,
I have been on the internet for like 25 years or something. And
you've never seen anything inappropriate?
It's different.
No.
The internet is different from what it was 25 years ago. Yeah. We were there, too.
And also, if all you have to do, even on a news site or something like that, you click something which you think that there is absolutely, you know, and all of a sudden something comes up which,
And at once, I was Googling on the name of an old schoolmate, and for some reason it whatever the name was, it put me on some weirdo site. So I get off.
Well, Mrs. Birnbaum, with all due respect, 40-year-old women such as yourself are not in the terms of age range and in terms of gender.
Right.
Again, I'm not saying totally immune, but are less in danger than like you said, a 17-year-old boy. You're 100% right.
Totally crazy.
Exactly. So they go to a site. Oh, that's interesting. And they stay on the site. They're not necessarily going to click it off, even if they don't intend to go to that.
You could also argue, which is what I was going to say, that a lot of news sources, which I read avidly, all sorts of them, have all sorts of pictures or whatever that are part of the story because people go around naked or whatever.
Listen, you look at the underwear in the Sunday New York
you
Times magazine. Come on.
Yeah, but you have to minimize your exposure.
Right.
So I think that's the number one thing nowadays where people, we have to break the stigma where people are embarrassed perhaps to say that they have the different things. There are filtration systems for the internet. There are things that track your activity and send it to someone else so they can see
and
what
then,
you're looking
and
at.
So
that's why people prefer the other way, that there are also programs that, I said, like, they track all your internet activity and they send it to someone to review.
Well, do you pay somebody to review it? I mean,
or you can have a friend do it.
And then the person has to review it.
I mean, that would
It automatically gets...
not having yichud with the internet.
That's exactly right. That's what the... Yeah. In other words, the Haredi rabbis generally say, try to avoid having internet in your house if at all possible, and if you need it for work, have it a super stringent filter and keep it in the basement under lock and key so your kids don't see it. That's not the approach of the... Less Haredi rabbis. Centrist Orthodox, let's put it that way.
Whatever.
The centrist Orthodox rabbis, that the general guidelines that we give is that people should never be in yichud with the internet. So either you have a filter, or you have that, again, you can't be if you have that, you can't be a tech whiz and be able to get around the filter. That's part of the...
I don't even have time to answer my email.
So either you have a filter, or you have a program that tracks your activity and sends it to a partner to review, or the only computer that you have has to be in a central area of the house where that people are constantly going to be walking by, and you'll never be able to be completely alone with it. If Chazal had known what the internet was, I mean, it's no question that that would have been part of the explicit list of prohibitions, not just something left to individual choice. So that's very much required, in my opinion.
I mean, they would have put filters on it. I don't think they would have totally...
Yeah, I think they... I'm a centrist, quote-unquote, Orthodox rabbi, so I agree with you. I don't think we can answer the internet completely. We have to do one of these three systems in place. Has to be, in every Jewish household, I don't understand how they could... not have such any of these three systems in place. It really is boggles my mind. But
what is the situation at the YU library, for example?
It's a public library.
No, there's no filter, but there is. It's a public library. There was a thing that Dr. Pelkovitz and Rabbi Tursky once gave. I think they gave him more than once, but I only went once. They gave a lecture, a panel discussion on maintaining kedusha in the in age of internet and television and whatever. So one thing that Rabbi Tversky recommended, that it's, for a student, it's quite practical, that you don't use the internet in your dorm room. Every time you want to use the internet, you use it only in the library. I think that's extremely reasonable.
Email?
Yeah, even to answer email. If you have, again, if you have, I have quasi-Haredi friends, that they have what's called, it's a very stringent filter called a whitelist, not a blacklist, that it doesn't give you access to the whole internet except inappropriate sites, or what it manages to figure out with its computer brain or inappropriate sites. It says no access to internet except for, and Gmail, a news site or work site or whatever. So that's also, that's wonderful. That's great. But then again, you have the problem that it sometimes it blocks out things that it really shouldn't. It's the perfectly appropriate things that it's going to block out. So that's the number one, in my opinion, contemporary application of these halachos is the interaction with technology that we have to maintain extra high standards, and we should certainly not be embarrassed about them in any way. Fine. V'im yachshov ha'ish befigo ba'isha na'a ki gehenem pasuach bein risei eneha. That when a man, when he encounters a beautiful woman, instead of saying, imagining her beauty and dwelling on that, if instead he imagines the fires of hell open between her eyelashes. Okay, it's it's an extreme formulation, but and again, this also.
Aren't you supposed to make a bracha if you see a very beautiful woman?
Yeah. You look quickly and then you stop. Okay. I mean, this is an extreme formulation. I do admit that it can lead to, not that it's extreme intrinsically, but if it leads to the point where you can't interact with women normally, then that's a problem. But if you just have to imagine, I guess when you're imagining yourself getting to know this woman better, that it's very dangerous, so then that's what you have to do. If somebody gets too close to her, they're going to burn in eternal hellfire, whatever that means in Jewish tradition. We don't believe in hell in the traditional way that you really literally, not the traditional way, I meant the Christian way, that the colloquial way I meant, that literally you burn in flames forever. But that's basically the idea here, that you should imagine yourself in such a manner. And you just put all your thoughts into how dangerous it is, as opposed to dwelling on the positive aspects. Lo tia lo levuka, it will not be a michshol, a stumbling block for you. Chazal tell us, shim ein koach biyado lamis hayetzo harchig machshavto mimena. If you don't have the strength to kill the Yetzer Hara, and to distance your thoughts from it, shikra kriyashma, that as soon as you get started, your brain starts going off in a direction you don't want, so immediately say kriyashma, oh yeah, so batorah, or you start reviewing your learning by heart, v'odiyunu shal kopanim yamus pechach, that's the best way to kill the Yitzhara, that the Gemara says also that God created the Yitzhara, and he created Torah as a spice, as a medicine to be used against the Yitzhara. Kibosh sha'amru zikranim levracha, shim even hu nimoach, that the Yitzhara is like a stone, the Torah can make it melt. Bim barzel mispotzeis, if it's iron, it's going to explode. Shenemar halo kol dvarai ke'esh, that all my words are like fire, that I can destroy any types of objects that are in its way, meaning specifically the temptations of the Yitzhara, if you turn your attention to learning, instead of letting your thoughts go in inappropriate directions.